Hello, peeps. Well, this is your host, Kim, and welcome to another episode of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit ABC show, How to Get Away with Murder. We are going to jump right on in to the recap for episode 106, Freaking Whack-A-Mole. Wes storms out of Annalise's place when he realizes she can't stop lying. He thinks she's sick. When Wes skips class, Annalise shows up at his apartment. She wants to know what he wants. That's easy. He wants her to find Rebecca, or he'll tell the police everything he knows. Annalise later orders Frank to do something for her. 21 years ago, when Annalise was a law student, a man named David Allen was put on trial for the murder of his girlfriend, Trisha Stanley. He was convicted on nothing more than circumstantial evidence. An emergency hearing for an appeal has been granted. The team has 72 hours to save this man whose death penalty punishment is less than 2 weeks away. The judge on the case was named Millstone, as in Asher Millstone's father. Bonnie and Asher question the eyewitness, who says she saw David with a gun. Wes and Laurel pay a visit to David Allen's original attorney, who says his client had an alibi that relied on a druggie's testimony. Connor and Michaela question the original prosecutor, who claims he bailed on the case mid-trial because he was burnt out. Actually, it was because there was perjured evidence. Judge Millstone didn't do anything about this. Asher is disappointed to learn that his dad just became the team's new agent. New target. Anyway, Asher snoops around his father's home office. He finds something curious in his honorable daddy's journals. The day Judge Millstone met with the prosecutor on the David Allen case is missing. Asher confronts his father about this. An angry Judge Millstone orders him out of his house. Asher makes some demands on Annalise before revealing what he knows. For one, his father's name is kept out of the appeal. Secondly, he wants the trophy. Deal. A state senator, Art Truco, needed David Allen to go down for murder. The team is tasked with finding out why. They work hard and drink lots of coffee. During the intense work days, Bonnie advises Laurel to stop leading Frank on, so she does. As for Truco, the murder victim was leading the charge against his effort to buy lots of property back in the day. After almost breaking his neck during an unsuccessful physical assault on Connor, Asher realizes the witness lives in a building owned by Senator Truco. Annalise questions the eyewitness about how she was on the verge of eviction just before she testified. The strategy is enough to get Senator Truco on the stand. Annalise rips into him to the point where the state Supreme Court must shut her down. Even though the court was not pleased by the way Annalise presented her case, they did listen to what she was saying. An investigation into Truco's actions is ordered. Additionally, David Allen's conviction is vacated. He is a free man. Annalise lets Wes know that the police found new evidence that Griffin O'Reilly killed Lila because she was seeing another man. It's the cell phone. Annalise had Frank make sure any evidence of where the photo came from was cleared. An anonymous tip led the police to find the cell phone in O'Reilly's car. Annalise has fulfilled Wes's wishes. She's done whatever it takes to bring home Rebecca, who tells Wes that no one has ever believed in her like this before. Annalise has the wallpaper in her bedroom replaced. It's the last thing that could link Sam to the photo on the phone unless, of course, someone knows what his penis looks like. Annalise admits that she's doing this for Sam because she needs him. She loves him. Sam loves her too. Their mini love fest is interrupted by a knock on the front door. It's Rebecca. She's back. Wes is by her side. The discussion on next steps for her case is forthcoming. In other news, surveillance footage shows Nate that Frank broke into Griffin O'Reilly's car. In a flash forward, we see Asher realizing that the trophy is missing from his place. He beelines over to Annalise's house. Michaela sends him a text to trick him into going away. A short time later, the group literally almost runs into Asher in the street while transporting Sam's dead body. He doesn't notice them as he was on the phone at the time. The person on the other end, the other line, is Bonnie. She ends up with Asher. While basking in the afterglow, Bonnie gets a call from a panicked Annalise, who believes something terrible has happened to Sam. Well, there we go for the recap, and we are going to go ahead and jump right into the law terms for this podcast, and it would be habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is a writ that is used to bring a party who has been criminally convicted in state court into federal court. Usually, writs of habeas corpus are used to review the legality of the party's arrest, imprisonment, or detention. Habeas corpus, which is you have the body, prisoners often seek release by filing a petition for a writ of habeas corpus. A writ of habeas corpus is a judicial mandate to a prison official ordering that an inmate be brought to the court so it can be determined whether or not that person is in prison lawfully and whether or not he should be released from court custody. A habeas corpus petition is a petition filed with a court by a person who objects to his own or another's detention or imprisonment. The petition must show that the court ordering the detention or imprisonment made a legal or factual error. Habeas corpus petitions are usually filed by persons serving prison sentences. In family law, a parent who has been denied custody of his child by a trial court may file a habeas corpus. Also, a party may file a habeas corpus petition if a judge declares her in contempt of court and jails or threatens to jail her. In Brown v. Vasquez, 952 F2D 1164 and 1166, which is in the Ninth Circuit, 1991, denied 112 SCT 1778, year 1992, the court observed that Supreme Court has recognized the fact that the writ of habeas corpus is the fundamental instrument of safeguarding individual freedom against arbitrary and lawless state action. Therefore, the writ must be administered with the initiative and flexibility essential to ensure that miscarriages of justice within its reach are surfaced and corrected. The writ of habeas corpus serves as an important check on the manner in which state courts pay respect to federal constitutional rights. The writ is the fundamental instrument for safeguarding individual freedom against arbitrary and lawless state action. Harris v. Nelson, 394 U.S. 286 290-91 in 1969. Because the habeas process delays the finality of a criminal case, however, the Supreme Court in recent years has attempted to police the writ to ensure that the costs of the process do not exceed its manifest benefits. In McCleskey, the court raised barriers against successive and abusive petitions. The court raised these barriers based on significant concerns about delay, cost, prejudice to the prosecution, frustration of the sovereign power of the states, and the heavy burden federal collateral litigation places on scarce federal judicial resources, a burden that threatens the capacity of the system to resolve primary disputes. The court observed that the writ of habeas corpus is one of the centerpieces of our liberties, but the writ has potentialities for evil as well as for good. Abuse of the writ may undermine the orderly administration of justice and therefore weaken the forces of authority that are essential for civilization. The predominant inquiry on habeas corpus is a legal one, whether the petitioner's custody simpliciter is valid as measured by the Constitution. The purpose of the Great Writ is not to relitigate state trials. Alright, that was definitely a mouthful, but I felt we need to go in depth with that just in case anybody needs to know, because I didn't know all the details. Alright, now on into the review. Is Annalise upset that Wes is mad at her, or is it just that he knows her secret and wants to keep him close so he cannot reveal them? That's been my guess, is that she just wants to keep him close, but it is strange that she, I don't know, maybe it's good to have your enemy close to manipulate them and make sure they don't tell the truth, but it's just really, it's a strange relationship. And are we sure Bonnie didn't know that this case involved Asher Millstone's father? Yeah, right. She said she had no clue, but I don't believe Bonnie or Frank or Annalise if they have to get something done. Why tell them? We're just trying to have the students work it out, and hey, if it involves lying, go ahead. It worked out in this case. Now, when Bonnie says that it's for Annalise, I'd do anything for her, to Sam. Are we sure nothing has ever happened between them, or will happen between them? Bonnie and Sam always exchanging the weird look. Though Wes told Annalise he is defending Rebecca because it's the right thing to do, I believe she hit the nail on the head that he is in love with her, or falling for her. But this is in TV show terms, that like apparently it was like love at first sight, and he just had to defend this chick because she was hot. I mean, she is pretty hot, but he's falling fast, and I guess there's good use in asking him what he will do for love. He will try to, free you from being charged with murder. And that's what I call a faithful and wonderful partner. Why Rebecca isn't jumping on top of that right now, I don't know. Love Connor when he said they should ask Dead Sam in the car where Elm Street is. He's so jolly in his fear, and I guess that's... I'm glad they're showing different levels of cracked. I mean, with Michaela just uncontrollably crying and wanting to curl into the fetal position. Laurel trying to figure out how to, you know, cover this up. And Wes, of course, dictating what they should do and taking the lead on this. Showing a good spectrum of what it's like to react to murder. And was the showing of a black maid symbolic of Asher's father's low opinion of black people, or was it just a product of casting? I don't know. I guess it might be a good point for Hispanics. They're saying, hey, we're always cast as maids. It's about time somebody else got to do it, but there's a black maid. Well, I might just be making up something stupid. Just ignore it. Ignore it. Just carry on. The look of possible defeat crossing Annalise's face when Bonnie told her that Jason Watkins OD'd 15 months ago was the first time I have ever seen Annalise look worried and stressed about a case of the week, and doing so in front of someone. But I guess Bonnie is a longtime employee, though I still have not a damn clue what the hell Bonnie and Frank do. It was just to see that on her face, you sort of panic, but at the same time, we know TV, right? Somehow this case is going to get resolved. We just knew it, even though that was a moment that we could see some doubt for Annalise, and I guess that's the important part. It was so heartbreaking for Asher's father to kick him out and call him an ungrateful little twit, like a jerk. He just wanted to get himself up the ladder, get himself some prominence, and he would do that on the back of just a random man. And I just felt really bad for Asher, because that was just disappointing, I'd be disappointed in my father if he engaged in something of that magnitude, and just poor Asher. I love how focused the five students were at getting the information that someone lied on the stand to get David on death row, man. They were all up on that coffee, and they were working hard, and it was impressive. They were into it, exactly what Annalise would want, so that her students will work her cases. And you know what? I'm already tired of Frank and Laurel, so I'm done mentioning that. Asher's mad rush of the box and then tripping after Connor said it wasn't the first time the Millstones profited off of someone was awesome. At least it led him to find the document with the logo from the apartment complex. Convenient plot point, but a really funny one. The show, I'd say, is really good with pacing. The example being the subpoena of Truco. All she did was just kind of, you know, present what she needed to present, even though she was being told to shut up. And boom, there you go, right to Truco and the subpoena, and him on the stand. Didn't waste our time. Annalise is very understandably aggressive and desperate with this case. I mean, she's trying to defend somebody she's been just feeling guilty and worried about for years. I mean, this is a case that stuck with her for so darn long. It's about 15 years. And, knowing that he was innocent, you gotta just be thinking, there's just no way. I just gotta try everything possible, even desperate attempts, to get this man from off of death row, that doesn't deserve to be killed. The winning of the case almost put me in tears, I'm not gonna lie. The second and third time around, maybe not as hard, but the first time, I knew he was going to be acquitted, but, I mean, it was just still emotional. I expected, like I said, he'd be set free, and it was just very emotionally gripping, and I thank the show for that. I mean, they made the reveal we knew that was coming pretty emotional, and I hope he has a steak for dinner, because steak is good. Sorry for everybody at PETA and people who don't eat meat. The winning of this case almost put me in tears, but Wes not protesting the planting of the phone leads him further on the path of being implicated in a crime. Of course, they've all been criminal acts, but hey, this is getting Wes in deeper. And I love Annalise changing the wallpaper and saying she wished she had gotten to tell Sam first about the new development in the StandGuard case, which, I guess Annalise shows more emotion when she tells Sam she needs him. I mean, she starts to break down crying, and I don't know. It's just a weird twist relationship. But hey, if you've been in love with somebody that long, they've been married for like, what, 20 years? I mean, come on. There's got to be some emotion for him. And Frank was too dead to disguise himself while stashing the phone. Now Nate has information in a vendetta. Great, Frank. How dumb. You and your hotness and in your suit. You couldn't just, I don't know, disguise yourself somehow. You never put on a weird mask. Just don't make it so obvious that we can clearly see your face. Asher banged Bonnie on the night of the bonfire. What? Weird. Didn't see that coming along. Even though he invited her to his get-together party at the beginning, but that was strange. I don't even know what to say about that. Now, Annalie's crying on the phone, asking if Bonnie was with Sam, and that something terrible has happened. And then the camera pans down to show that the rug is missing in Annalise's house. So maybe she wasn't implicated in Sam's murder, but who killed him? Maybe Nate had to do it? I mean, he's just been flipping-flopping back and forth about this, helping Annalise, and then ratting her out, and then he was spying, and all that, and just, it's just crazy. I mean, somebody had, I don't know who could have killed him at this point. I mean, there's a few people with motive, and, you know, I guess it would be typical and expected if Annalise was the one, but maybe she was? I'm not sure yet on that, but I mean, obviously she has a huge, huge motive to kill him. This guy may have murdered a girl, I don't know. It's just really strange, and I'm not sure what to expect just yet, but that's the fun of this show, don't you think? Alright guys, that's the end, but I wanted to go ahead and say, hey, I need your feedback. It'll make the show much more interesting, more interactive. And you can do that on Twitter. It's at getawaywithmurder. You can also email, whether you type that out or send in a WAV file, MP3 file, whatever file you want. You can email that to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can also find the Facebook page if you just search out How to Get Away with Law and like the page. And I hope to hear from you guys soon. But until next time, this has been your host, Kim. Thank you.